Hello, welcome to the third episode of Pop Fishbowl. I am your host, Ezekiel. It is Thursday night, March 24th. Hope you guys are well. So, to start it off, what have I been reading? I just finished Alice in Wonderland today, and just the other day I finished Chronicles of Narnia, the second book in the series, The Lion and the Witch and the Wardrobe. I've got this whole kind of goal to read all these kind of children's fantasies and literary classics. So I started with Sleepy Hollow and, you know, read Peter Pan and read the first two books in the Wizard of Oz series, and then did Neverending Story, and then finally, you know, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and Alice in Wonderland. So, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was interesting. I loved the BBC adaptation from the 80s. It used to play all the time on YTV, and I just loved it. I remember it would come on every Sunday, and I would rush home because I had to go to church when I was very little, and I would rush home, and I had to watch the next episode of Narnia. I didn't really think of it as like a mini series at the time. I didn't really have a word for it because it was like a 6-part series, and they were all abridged, and so instead of just kind of running concurrently as a full movie, they were split up. And so I thought of it actually as a TV show. It wasn't until years later that I realized that it was movies and serials. Is that they did The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and then Prince Caspian and the Dawn Trader and the Silver Chair and so on and so forth. So that's kind of my reference. I don't remember if I read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe when I was a kid. I know I read The Magician's Nephew, but I'm trying to think if I read it. I don't know. What did I think of the book? I really liked it. It has a lot of like religious imagery, which surprised me, because I'd heard about that. I'd heard about kind of the literary analysts. Analysis of it, and just kind of with Aslan being a substitute for Jesus Christ, and kind of, you know, trying to save everyone by dying himself and taking on the burden. It was really interesting, the fact that C.S. Lewis had Santa Claus in the book. I'm trying to think of like a fantasy, like a children's fantasy or children's fantasy, where they had like one of the like characters, like folk or mythological heroes, whether it's like the Easter Bunny or, you know, Father Time or Father Christmas, show up in another work, because he wasn't just mentioned, he actually appears in the book. And I so that was interesting. My one complaint, and I probably mentioned this when I was talking about Wizard of Oz a couple episodes ago, is that the characters aren't really developed. That's kind of my biggest complaint. I love the world. Ever since I was a kid, I've been really encapsulated in imaginary worlds and imaginary places, and I love Narnia. But the characters of, you know, Lucy and Edmund and Peter and Susan weren't terribly developed, and so it disappointed me. And of course I like you know, Mr. Tumnus and the White Witch and Aslan and the Beavers and everyone else, but I couldn't really relate to those children other than kind of like the few traits that they had. So I was a little disappointed. It was a really short book. It clocked in around like 137-ish pages. Like, I kind of had a hardcover and the print was really big, but I mean, it was very short. I finished Alice in Wonderland today and I liked it. It was really bizarre, like more bizarre than like the Oz books that I read, or Narnia, or, you know, Neverland and Peter Pan. It just was, like, I mean, I'd never read the book before, so I didn't know if the Queen of Hearts was actually going to be a playing card from a deck of cards. And she was, and it was just surreal. There was a griffin that shows up. There's the mock turtle. There's, you know, of course, all the classic characters we know. If you've watched any of the adaptations of Alice in Wonderland over the years, you know, the White Rabbit and the Caterpillar and the Mad Hatter and the March Hare, and it's so it was really interesting because, you know, I grew up with these adaptations, whether they're like Peter Pan and Narnia and Alice in Wonderland, and to actually read the source material has been really interesting to me. I haven't watched the Disney version of Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe in a long time, probably about 10 years, so I can't say how faithful it is. The BBC adaptation is very faithful to the book. Now reading Alice in Wonderland, it's the same thing. Like, the Disney version is fairly faithful. There's a few things they cut out, but I mean, it's... the one thing I did like about this is Alice was a little more developed than... Dorothy from Oz, or even the I forget their name. You can chide me at popfishbowl@gmail.com. I forget the surnames of the children from Narnia, but so I like that. It was just a weird book. I just liked how strange it is. I totally forgot with, like, the drink me and the eat me and, you know, the pool of tears and her growing and her shrinking, and it's just, it's such a trip. That's really the only way to explain it. So that was, those are the books that I read. For comics, I haven't really read anything since the last episode. I really need to go to the comic shop, and if any of my dear comic friends in my city are listening, please, again, chide me. You can send me an email at popfishbowl@gmail.com. I really want to get Lumberjanes Volume 3 as well as Manifest Destiny Volume 3. Both of those comics are probably my favorites. I love Manifest Destiny. I've always really liked adventure stories and exploring kind of new worlds, or in this way, the kind of the frontier, and I guess it really was the new world in a sense, because while it wasn't discovered by Lewis and Clark, they certainly had the expedition, and Manifest Destiny really just kind of goes off into the more fantasy and horror elements of the what ifs of the new world, and there's monsters and all these creatures, and as someone who loves monsters, I love this book. I'm very excited, and I need to get it. So that's what I've been reading. In terms of TV that I'm watching, nothing has changed. I'm still pretty obsessed with The Magicians. They had their last episode on Monday, and that was really good. The opening was really good. I don't really want to go into spoilers, but they went to another world called the Nether Regions. One of the characters, Penny, who I like, and it just really excited me. And unfortunately, not that it's a shirk on the show, but it was just really exciting for me that after that part was over and they went back to the episode, I was kind of bored. It was probably the first episode of The Magicians that I didn't really like, and it kind of bored me. But that very opening part of The Magicians is so great. I really want to see the character of Eve. To the people who are watching The Magicians, you'll know what I'm talking about. Send me an email at popfishbowl@gmail.com. So that's The Magicians. Still obsessed with American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson. The last episode focused just kind of on the jury and how the jury's been managing this, like, 8-month sequester that they've been involved in. So that was really cool to kind of hear from them. I really liked Cuba Gooding Jr. in this episode, and People vs. O.J. Simpson is my jam. I just love this show. Every time that John Travolta is on screen, I think I fall in love for the first time. He's just so great. His eyebrows, I have no idea what he's doing, but it's fantasticus. So that's that. I just watched the last episodes of The Flash and iZombie. I caught up to those because they returned. Both were really good. I enjoy them. What really surprised me was the last episode of Outsiders. So episode 9, Outsiders was a show that I was really excited about because I loved the idea of going up in the hills of Kentucky. Justified had very briefly focused on this culture in an episode, and it really kind of piqued my interest. I love subcultures and stuff like that. So, but unfortunately, I have not been enjoying Outsiders as much as I'd hoped. It was probably one of my most anticipated shows of 2016, and it's okay, but it could be so much better. You know, like, it was really interesting how I had no expectations for the people versus O.J. Simpson. Like, I really, like, when it was announced they were doing it, I scoffed. I'm like, oh my god, this is, why? Why are you doing this? And the first episode was a train wreck, but it was a train wreck that I just had to keep following. And then it just got really good, and then the goodness just turned into obsession. Whereas The Outsiders, I was really, really hyped for it, and it just kind of let me down. But this last episode was really good. I'm hooked now. For the first time, I actually really want to come back for next week. They ended it on a bit of a cliffhanger. I like what they're doing with the characters currently, so I don't know if it's a thing that they kind of felt they had to build up this world and get to know people so you could be frustrated with the characters and then they could change, or maybe they just changed the writers. I have no idea, but Outsiders, you've earned a gold star this week. Keep doing what you're doing. You've got a couple more episodes. You're this close to the home stretch. If you can finish the season, like, on an A+, all will be right in the world, because I like what you're doing. You just need to get better. To anyone who isn't watching, please, I implore you to watch Full Frontal with Samantha Bee. I liked her on The Daily Show as one of the correspondents. I support her just as a fellow Canadian. Her show is really, really good. I'm not saying that The Daily Show and John Oliver and, you know, Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon and all the other guys aren't great. Samantha Bee is kicking so much ass. And it's exciting for me because she's the only female talk show host, but more importantly, she's really, really good. It's not just that I just want to support her because she's a woman. She's just a really good comedian, and her show is really good, and I love the bits that they're doing, and you just need to watch it. I really don't think it's getting enough play. So that's kind of, that's TV news. Haven't really got any toys this week. Haven't played any video games. I'm still struggling with the Flame the Flood. I love you, Flame the Flood, but you were really hard. But you should play it. I love that game. I really want to get Day of the Tentacle remastered. I played it as a kid. It initially came out by LucasArts, which is like my favorite game studio of all time. And it's being remastered by Double Fine. And it came out 2 days ago, and I think you should play it if you like adventure games and time travel and purple tentacles taking over the world. So that's kind of my pop culture. Now for the main event. I saw Star Wars last night for the second time. They were getting rid of it from our theater finally. You know, it's been playing ever since December. And, you know, it's been out for 3 months, and they had to make room for Batman versus Superman. And although I saw it the first day that it came out, I saw it mainly to avoid spoilers. Here's my thing with hype. I don't like when something gets kind of like pushed down my face or in my throat. I actually really kind of hated Star Wars for like the last 4 or 5 months because everybody seemed to be talking about it. I would go on Facebook, people were talking about it. I'd go on Twitter, people were talking about it. I was talking to people in my real life and they were talking about it. And I felt I couldn't go anywhere. And I've always been like this, where like if something is being just talked ad nauseum. I want nothing to do with it. I probably one of the famous examples is I stayed away from Independence Day and Twister as a child, which I really regret because I think those movies you should have seen in the theater. I got offered to go. My parents were willing to take me, and I refused. I don't want to see it because all the kids in my class were talking about going to Independence Day and Twister, and I didn't want to see it. I just was like, no, I don't. And I almost avoided The Matrix for the same reason. I'm really weird. If you haven't noticed, Ezekiel is a really weird guy, and so I don't like hype. I felt the same way about Doctor Who and Firefly. Like, I know those are TV shows and not movies, but it the same thing kind of applies. I started getting into comics about 2.5 years ago, and Deadpool was another one that I was told that I had to watch. Saga is another one. My friend Ashley Berry was mentioning it in the last episode, and I fully intend to read Saga in about 3 years when everyone stopped telling me to read it. And I know I'm really weird like that because I, too, as a person, recommend and gush about things, but I just don't like it when it's thrown down my face. So I was not excited about Star Wars. I only saw it really to make sure that I wasn't spoiled because too many times social media or my friends have let me down. They don't mean to, but, you know, someone just lets something out and then the whole thing is ruined. And I didn't want Star Wars being ruined for me. If I could have, like, stayed away till April, I would have. But I knew that was impossible. So I saw Star Wars. I enjoyed it at the time, but I just wanted to go and see it and get really, really excited. And last night couldn't have been more perfect. I was the only one in the theater, like the only one. And, you know, sometimes when I'm by myself, I like to squee and freak out. And I had the luxury of doing that. I was in a theater in, like, you know, perfect quality and, like, surround sound. And that title sequence came up and, like, dun 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 dun, you know, and I was like, woo! I was so excited, and it just was amazing, and it was really cool because I'd seen the movie before, so I knew that everything was going to happen. I could look for things. I knew characters' names this time. I could kind of see what the actors were doing more and what the characters were doing now. I still love Rey. Rey is one of, like, my favorite female characters of 2015. Her and Furiosa. No question, hands down, her and Furiosa. I love Rey. Sadly, my brother got me a Poe Dameron pop for Christmas. And I love Poe Dameron, and he got me at that because he thought I'd enjoy it, but I really, where's Rey? Rey is great. I love Poe and Finn's friendship. That means so much to me, I can't even articulate it properly. It just gets me so giddy inside, and it makes me so happy, and I love Poe and Finn. I love them separately, but whenever they're together and, you know, he sees them, you know, it just makes me so, so happy. The thing that I loved what Star Wars did is they were able to make me care about the new characters. I think the main draw for people initially was the older cast that connected it to the new series of movies. Han Solo and Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia and Chewbacca and C-3PO and R2-D2. But I fell in love with that cast better than I thought I would. To the point that I don't need to see the old ones in the next movie. I mean, it would be great, but I want to see what, you know, Rey and Finn and Poe Dameron are doing. And then, of course, the other ones like Kylo Ren and General Hux and Lady Phasma. And, you know, those are the ones I want to see. And I'm really excited. And Maz. I love Maz. Oh, she's so great. She's just, I love her. I love everything about her. I love her goggles. I love that her skin is yellow. It's just such a good movie. Now, here again is where I get really weird. This, I just call these moments, Zeke gets weird. So, I don't really like seeing characters age. I don't. It was the same reason for years I didn't want a Ghostbusters 3, because I felt that although Ghostbusters is my favorite everything of all time, and it, that movie and that world and that franchise means the world to me, I just wish it had been left alone. I didn't want to see older Ghostbusters. I also didn't want to see new Ghostbusters, whether they were male or female. I wanted my Ghostbusters. Not, that's not to say that I wouldn't mind a spinoff, but I don't want someone, you know, replacing the Ghostbusters that I'm familiar with. Same thing with the Ninja Turtles. I don't have a problem with more Ninja Turtles. I just don't want them to replace the Ninja Turtles, you know? So I don't like characters getting old. I really didn't like Indiana Jones 4. I think that sentiment is shared by a lot of people. And so I was probably one of the few, if only, dissenters that when they showed the trailer for Star Wars and it showed Han Solo coming and he's like, "Chewie, we're home," and everyone like was like squeeing and swoon gushing and freaking out and like, "Holy fire, roasted trouts." Well, actually, no, that's what I say, but you can guess. And I was the only one. I didn't think that was exciting. That made me actually want to see the movie less. I don't want to see an old Han Solo. I would rather it, and again, please feel free to send your hate and vitriol at popfishbowl@gmail.com. I would have been more okay with them recasting. That's why I don't really have a problem with like Chris Pratt being in the running to take over Indiana Jones. I love Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford made that role so iconic. But Indiana Jones is too great of a character to never be done by anyone else again. You know, if people can do Shakespeare, new iterations of Shakespeare over the decades and millenniums and all that stuff, no reason why we can't do another Indiana Jones. We do it for Batman, we do it for Superman, we do it for James Bond. You know, Indiana Jones should be no exception. And Han Solo is the same way, and so I don't know. I didn't like seeing Leia old. I didn't like seeing Luke Skywalker old. That's my only complaint of the movie. Now, the interesting thing that I can say upon reflection, because I've now seen it twice, is initially I did not like the reveal of Kylo Ren. I thought it was a really cool character until he took off his mask, and then I burst out laughing because he seems so emo and pathetic and like a poser and a hipster, and I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all, and I just hated it. Hated that character. And then I watched the movie again, and again, it's like 4 months later. I really like Kylo Ren. My my internet friend, both on Tumblr and Twitter, I'm giving a shout out to you, Jordan. Jordan has a thing for Kylo Ren. Jordan, I get it. He is awesome. He's so cool. I'm sorry. Maybe I just should have just watched the movie sooner, but I really, really like Kylo Ren, and I'm really excited to what they're going to do in the movie. Adam Driver, please forgive me. I take it all back. You're really good. I really want to see where the character goes. I love Kylo Ren. I love General Hux. We need more Captain Phasma. I love Gwendolyn Christie on Game of Thrones, even though I don't watch Game of Thrones. She's really good on it. And I just really like her. I don't know if this is going to come out of left field or be an unpopular opinion, but I really want to see more of the Scottish smuggler that was really mad at Han Solo. He's really cool. For some reason, I thought that he was like Oliver Wood from Harry Potter. It's like, is that Oliver Wood? But it wasn't. It was very sad when I came home and checked IMDb at 1 in the morning. But it's so exciting. And when the movie ended, and it, I'm not going to go into spoilers, but it ends on a cliffhanger, and I'm just as upset as I was the first time I watched it, and now I just want Star Wars Episode 8 really, 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 really bad. So that's Star Wars. It's the week of Batman versus Superman. I really don't care about this movie, despite Batman being one of my favorite superheroes. I really don't like Zack Snyder. I didn't like Man of Steel. I didn't like Sucker Punch. I didn't like 300. I've never seen Watchmen. Again, it was one of those things that was hyped and thrown down my throat. I have to read Watchmen. You have to watch the adaptation of Watchmen. I have done neither. Maybe in 5 or 7 years, I will pick up Watchmen after everyone has just shut up about it. Zeke is weird. So I'm not excited about Batman vs. Superman. The only reason that would get me to go to see this movie is Wonder Woman, and I've read the reviews, and she's really awesome in it, but she's not in it very long, so I might just wait until it comes on like DVD or iTunes or Netflix or something like that. Wonder Woman, I love you. I can't wait for your movie. We need more female superheroes. Where's my Wonder Woman movie? Where's my Squirrel Girl movie and my Dolphin movie and my Captain Marvel movie and my Miss Marvel movie? I need my awesome female superheroes, women kicking ass. Come on. So really don't care about Batman versus Superman. If you guys are interested in it and you want to tell me your thoughts, again, it's popfishbowl@gmail.com. Hope you guys have a really interesting and fun weekend. Sometime in the next couple days, I am going to do my bonus mini cast of Zootopia, because I still need to talk about that, but we were long due a new episode. So there we go. Talk to you guys next week.